Good morning. Well, it's an honor and a blessing for me to be here. And as Brother mentioned, we're from the flatlands. Our Ohio looks like your floor here, about that flat. And Brother Doug and Diane took us to Baker Mountain yesterday, and we were totally impressed. I tell you, we haven't been any place like that in our life, so thank you so much. But, you know, I want to ask you a question this morning, and I don't want you to raise your hand or anything, but I just want you to think of something. Let me ask, how many of you have ever led anyone to the Lord in your lifetime? Praise God. Didn't have to raise your hand, but you did. Praise God for that. Now, the reason I'm asking that is because, you know, many people think, well, is that my responsibility? Isn't that the pastor's job? Isn't that the deacon's job? But, you know, it tells us in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we are all commanded to lead others to the Lord and witness to people. But, you know, they claim that over 90% of the people, the Christians, will never lead anyone to the Lord in their lifetime. Matter of fact, I've heard statistics as high as 97-98% of the people will never lead anyone to the Lord. And we think about that, why is that? Well, I think a lot of it may be fear. You know, fear of rejection. But we have to realize they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting the gospel, aren't they? Maybe it's a fear of them asking questions and we're not going to know the answer to them. Maybe it's a fear that just plain don't know how to do it. I mean, I was in that category one time. There was a time I basically didn't have a clue how to approach somebody to share the gospel. And maybe it's a fear of failure. But what's failure? Is failure if they don't pray with you, accept Christ as their Savior? Is that failure? Well, you think of the greatest preacher of all time was Jesus. Not everybody accepted Christ from his preaching and teaching, did they? So maybe you end up being a seed planter. You know, I've heard people speak on soul winning. I'm sure many of you have too. And so many of these people, they were so good. They would get up and they'd say, now if they say this, you say that. They say that and you say this. When they got done, I thought, wow, I couldn't begin to do that in a bet. Has any of you ever been like that? Well, you know, hopefully when I get done today, you can say, I think I can do that. That's pretty simple. I think the first thing we have to realize is you and I aren't going to save anyone. So many times I hear people talk about witnessing to people and they think they have to do that and do this and all these great magical things they're going to have to say and do to lead someone to the Lord. The truth of the matter is you and I aren't going to save anybody. It's going to have to be the Holy Spirit. You know, Dr. Henry Blackaby made the comment in Experiencing God. How many of you read that book, Experiencing God? It's a great book. If you haven't read it, read it. And he said in there, if the Holy Spirit isn't there, what are you going to do? Does that make sense? So we got to take that pressure off of us and let the Holy Spirit be working. You know, how many of you believe there's people out there that truly could care less what happens to them after they die? How many of you believe there's people like that? I can tell you there are. I've had people literally tell me that they didn't care what happened to them after they died. How many of you believe there's people out there truly do want to know what's going to happen to them after they die? How many believe there's people like that? I can tell you. And by far more than you can ever imagine. And those are the people that we want to work with, we want to talk to. That's where the Holy Spirit's going to be leading you. You know, Mark Cahill wrote a book called One Heartbeat Away. And in this book, he put in there, we should pray for Bob. We have the burden, we have the opportunity, and the boldness. So I encourage you to put you on your prayer list. Pray you have the burden, the opportunity, and the boldness. And then the Holy Spirit is going to put people on your heart. They're going to, your friends, family members. We all have family members that probably aren't saved. We all probably know friends that aren't saved. So I encourage you to put them on a list. Start praying for them. And then pray as our pastor prays. He said he prays, God, send me to the person closest to hell today. You know, we think about it. There's 7.6 billion people in the world today. 2.2 billion of those people claim to be Christian. Over 55 million people die every year. That's over 151,000 people a day, over 6,000 people an hour are dying every day. You know, the day you're going to receive a little testament looks like this one. And I hope you enjoy this little testament, what they're going to give you the opportunity to do with this, what the Holy Spirit's going to give you the opportunity to do with that little testament. When you leave today, there's going to be men at the exit doors to give you your little testament. There's going to be a handout they're going to give to you when you leave. And I'm going to encourage you today to use that tool to lead someone to the Lord. I have found this is the greatest tool. I have also found that if you pay somebody a compliment, you can probably give them about anything. You can have the worst waiter or waitress you've ever had. But if you tell them, boy, you're so kind, you're so pleasant, you do such a nice job, may I give you a little gift? You can literally walk to people on the street. You can't believe the number of people you lead to the Lord at the gas station or just in stores by just using this Old Testament. I have found if you walk up to him and say, you know, Brother Doug, you seem so kind and so pleasant, may I give you a little gift? It's a little Bible. It's a little New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs from the Old Testament. If you go in the side front cover, it has a little self-help section. You can go there in time of sickness, death, worry. It'll give you a scripture verse, the page number. It'll be the same scripture verse, your big Bible, just different page number. And we all want to go to heaven. You go inside the back cover, it tells you how much God loves you, gives you all the scripture verses, tells you how to get there. May I give that to you? Now, the reason I tell them it's a New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs from the Old Testament, and tell them it's a scripture verse, the same scripture verse in the big Bible, just a different page number, I want to build credibility for the little book. I don't want them to think we're some kind of a cult. So I tell them build that to build credibility for them. They know it's a little Bible. Then if I have the opportunity, I like to ask them this question. If you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If they tell me no, I ask, would you like to know? If they tell me yes, I ask, may I share some scripture verses with you? It won't take me very long. It's not what I'm sharing with you. It's what God's telling us from his word. May it take some time to do it. And if they tell me yes, then I'll go through the scripture verses and explain them to them. I tell you what I want to do. I'm going to have Brother Doug come up here, and I'm going to just do a role play. I'm going to pretend Brother Doug's, he's just walking down the street, and I'm just going to approach him walking down the street, okay? So Brother Doug's come up here, and now, when you have to tell somebody they look so pleasant and so kind, I don't have to lie when I tell that to Doug, do I? You ever seem more jovial than this dude? No, sir, you seem so kind and so pleasant. I just want to know, can I give you a little gift? It's a little Bible. It's a New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs from the Old Testament. I'll tell you what's neat about it. Sometimes I try to find something in the Bible for sickness, death, or worry, but I don't know where to find it. So if you go in the front here, it'll tell you where to find it. It'll be the same scripture verse in your big Bible. It's just going to be a different page number. And we all want to go to heaven. If you go inside the back cover, it tells you how much God loves you, gives you all the scripture verse, a little prayer, tells you how to get there. May I give you that?
Yeah, sure.
Now, I want Doug, may I ask you a question? When I have somebody as kind as pleasant as you, I want to ask you a question. If you're to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?
Not really.
Would you like to know?
I would.
Now, I'll tell you what I would do, Doug. I would just share some scripture verses with you, okay? So it's not what I'm telling you. It's what God tells us from his word. It won't take me very long. May I do that?
Yes.
Perfect. The first scripture verse I want to share with you comes from John 3:16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. May I ask your first name?
It's Doug.
Doug. That's a neat name. Doug, you can put, where that whosoever is, you can put your name in there. If Doug believeth in him, he should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Doug, it tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Doug, I got to tell you, I have committed enough sin for you and me both, okay? But have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
You know what? So have I. And Doug, if anybody ever tells me they haven't told a lie, they probably told me one right then. Have you ever been angry with somebody?
Yes, I have.
Think about that. Who hasn't been angry with somebody? We've all been angry with somebody. But Doug, that's not just you and me. Because it tells us in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we all do those things. But because we do those things, what does that make us?
Sinners.
That's exactly right, Doug. Makes us all sinners. And it tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So Doug, you and I, everybody that's ever been born, we're going to die someday, aren't we? And when we do, we're going to go to one of two places, aren't we? We're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. And Doug, I want to go to heaven. How about you?
I do.
Yeah. I haven't had very many people tell me they want to go to hell. But the best part of that verse, Doug, is the end of it, where it says, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Doug, it tells us in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates love for us and that yet we're still sinners. Christ died for us. Doug, Jesus knew thousands of years ago, you and I, everybody that's ever born, we're going to tell a lie, we're going to be angry with somebody, maybe we're going to steal something. And that's why he knew he had to take my sin, your sin, and everybody's sin on him crucified, buried, and rise on the third day was to forgive us all that sin. And what that's like, Doug, let's say, for instance, you and I did something really wrong, and the judge sentenced you and me to life in prison. As a jailer has taken you and me in that prison cell, Jesus is standing there, and he says, Doug, you and Dick are free to go. I paid the debt when I died on a cross. They locked him in a jail cell. You and I walked away. That's what he did for us. And it tells us in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, sup with him, and he with me. Now, Doug, if I came to your home and I knock on the door, I'm outside, aren't I?
Yes.
But if you open the door and you invite me in, I'm in your house, aren't I?
Yes.
Doug, that's what Jesus does. He knocks on your heart. He knocks on my heart. And he says, Doug and Dick, I want you to ask forgiveness of your sins and accept me as your personal Savior. So, Doug, you and I can never be good enough to go to heaven. So it's a personal relationship. And it tells us in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So Doug does tell us there just has to be a day that you and I, we pray, we ask forgiveness of our sins, accept Christ as our personal Savior, and if we're sincere, it says, thou shalt be saved. Does that make sense?
It does.
Now let me ask you, Doug, would you like to pray with me? I'll just pray out loud. You repeat after me. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
Perfect. Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
I believe you died on the cross.
I believe you died on the cross.
I believe you were buried.
I believe you were buried.
And I believe you rose again on the third day.
And I believe you rose again on the third day.
And I believe you did that to forgive me of my sins.
I believe you did that to forgive me of my sins.
And I ask you to forgive me of my sins now.
I ask you to forgive me of my sins now.
I accept you as my personal Savior.
I accept you as my personal Savior.
And I do that by faith.
I do it by faith.
And I ask you to come live in my heart.
I ask you to come live in my heart.
And help me to start living for you today.
Help me to start living for you today.
And when I die.
And when I die.
Please take me to heaven.
Take me to heaven.
To be with you.
To be with you.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Brother Doug, let me ask you, were you sincere when you prayed that?
I was.
Now, the reason I'm asking, Doug, we can say the words, we can pray it. We don't mean it, doesn't make any difference. And yet, when you pray it and you're sincere, it tells in Romans 10:13, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that neat?
It is.
Now, where does Jesus live now?
In my heart.
He does. You know, Doug, we hear people all the time say we're all children of God. We're all created by God. You're not a child of God until you accept him as your personal Savior. Now you're a child of God.
Hallelujah.
So every place you go, the Holy Spirit's in you. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
Now I tell you what I want you to do, Doug. I want you to sign and date this little testament, okay? The reason I want you to do that, I want you to always remember the date you gave your life to the Lord. Now if you don't mind, I tell you what I want to do. Can I put you on my prayer list?
Yes.
I'll try and pray for you every day, okay?
Yes.
Now I want to give you that.
Thank
I want you.
You
to keep that. And I got your first name, D-O-U-G, right?
Right.
And your last name?
Is Vaughn, V-A-U-G-H-A-N.
Wow, that's a pretty classy name. Thank you. Now, Doug, I'm going to try and pray for you every day, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I tell you what I want you to do. Let me show you that little testament.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to take and go to the book of John, okay? And I want you to read the book of John first.
Yeah.
Read through this book. Then go back here just a few pages. And I want you to go to the book of Romans and read the book of Romans, okay? Here, read this.
Yeah.
Now, after you get those two books read, I want you to go to the beginning of this little Bible, book of Matthew, and start reading from the beginning, okay? Yeah. After you read through this, do you have a full Bible at home?
I do.
Okay. Go to your big Bible. Go to the book of Genesis. Go to the very beginning and start reading Genesis and reading through the Bible, okay?
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to read through the Bible in a day or a week, okay? But if you read like Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4 today, 5, 6, 7, 8 tomorrow, you'll read through the whole Bible in a year. Just read 3-4 chapters a day, you read through the whole Bible in a year, okay?
Yeah.
Good. You go to church anywhere?
No, I don't.
You know, I encourage you to find a church. And do you live around this area?
I do.
I tell you what, I go to the Emmanuel Bible Church. I'd like to have you come to our church. And I tell you what, I'm usually in the entranceway somewhere. Would you just look for me? Come in, I'd like to have you sit with me and my wife, okay?
Yeah. Would you be willing to pick me up and take me there?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Where do you live?
I'll give you the address.
Perfect. I'll write it down here. I got a motorcycle. You don't mind riding on that, do you?
Here, I'll write it down for you.
Perfect. That's perfect. Now, I tell you, you want to come to Sunday school with me also?
Yeah.
Perfect. Now, Sunday school starts at 9 o'clock. So I'll pick you up at about 8:30, okay?
That'd be good.
And I'll pick you up this Sunday, okay?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, thank you so much.
You don't know what this means to me.
You just made my day.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Now, I know what you're all saying. You're saying anybody could lead him to the Lord. Isn't that what you're saying? But you know, that is exactly what I wanted you to see. Because that is exactly how they are. How many questions did I have to answer? Zero. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit is there, that is literally how they are. They literally don't change from that. Now, you can have one thing happen. You may get to the point where you ask Brother Doug, and I have to ask if he went to pray with me, and he might have said he didn't want to pray with me. It is no time to be a salesperson. One question I may ask him, I say, Brother Doug, you and I don't know if we're going to make it to the end of the day. Are you sure you don't want to pray with me? And I've had some will say yes, but by far the majority will say no. And if they don't, they say no, it is no time to be a salesperson. If the Holy Spirit isn't there, what are you going to do? And you know, the worst thing could possibly happen is you put pressure on somebody to pray with you. They pray with you to get rid of you. They think they're going to heaven, and they're going to hell. No time to be a salesperson. Take that pressure off of you. You aren't going to save anyone. Now, another thing could have happened. I don't want to make this complicated, but the other thing could have happened. If I'd asked Brother Doug if he's 100% sure he's going to heaven, he could have said yes, right? If he tells me yes, I like to ask him another question. Because I have found many people would tell you yes, for one, because they don't want you to think they're a bad person. And some of those people literally do think they're going to heaven. So I will ask him, I say, Brother Doug, if you're face to face with Jesus, and he says, why should I let you in my heaven? What would you tell him? Now, if Brother Doug tells me, well, because I'm born again, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, he's probably saved. But you're going to have an awful lot of people say, it's because I'm a good person. I try to live right. At that point, I will tell him, I say, I can tell that, but just to talking to you, how kind and pleasant you are. But do you realize that won't get you to heaven? It's amazing how many people will say, really? Then I'll ask them, would you like to know? If they tell me yes, I go through the whole thing. It's the same process you go through. Very redundant. Now, we're going to have a handout, like I mentioned before. And there's going to be 8 scripture verses. I want you to remember. It's going to be a handout that looks like this one here. They're going to give it to you at the door when they give you the little testament. There's 8 short scripture verses. I want you to memorize those scripture verses. Then I want you to practice it. And then I want you to practice on people on the phone. You don't get those solicitors, I'm sure, but I get them all, so you probably couldn't get them. But practice on solicitors. You will be surprised the number of people you can lead to the Lord. I've got an online brokerage firm. You can't believe the number of people led to the Lord online brokerage firm. I have problems with my cable TV, and I got to go get a new remote, so then I can't work it. So I have to call somebody, and then they have to tell me how to use it, and you can lead those people to the Lord. The only thing you have to say to them, they get so done, you say, you've been so kind and so pleasant, may I ask you a question? If you die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If they tell me no, ask, would you like to know? If they tell me yes, you go through the scripture for lead them to the Lord. You'll be shocked how many you can lead to the Lord. One thing they can't do, they won't shoot you on the phone. Now, another thing, don't worry about saying something wrong. You know, you can practice this and do this, and there's sometimes you're going to stumble. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit can use anything you say. He cannot use it if you don't say it. I want to give you an example. I was blessed to be traveling for Giddings International as a regional field officer, and they were sending me to Panama. And this one night I checked into a hotel, and a young man took me to the room. And when I did, I gave him a little testament like I did with Doug. And then I asked him, I said, now let me ask you, I said, if you're to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, I'm not. I said, would you like to know? He said, I would. I said, may I share some scripture verses with you? He said, you may. I said, well, let's go sit down. So we went to sit down, and as we're doing that, he's proceeding to tell me that he had just gone through a divorce. So we sat down, and I started going through those scripture verses like I did with Doug, and I got to the point where I asked him if he'd ever told a lie. And he said, I don't think I ever have. I said, have you ever been angry with somebody? No, I said, I don't think I've ever been angry with anybody. He said, I'm a pretty mild-mannered guy. I said, have you ever stolen anything? No, he said, I'm really an honest person. He said, I've never stolen anything. How can he save somebody who doesn't even know they're lost? He doesn't even know he's a sinner. I thought it's no wonder he got a divorce. So at that point, I literally stopped. And I said, you know, these are the scripture verses in the back. That's just what I was going through. Sometime I said, you can go through those on your own. And I just let him go. Well, about a year, year and a half later, Giddings International sent me back to that same area. I checked in the same hotel. The same young man took my luggage to the room. Well, I thought, that night, I thought, you know, I got to talk to him. So the next morning, I got up, and I went down to the restaurant and ate, and I come out of the restaurant, and he's standing in the lobby. And I said, could I talk to you for just a minute? He said, sure. So he took me in this little room, and I said, I just want to ask you. I said, if you're to die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? He said, you asked me that the last time you were here. He said, I don't think you understand. He said, after you gave me that little testament, he said, I read that Bible, and I go to church every Sunday. I thought, how in the world did that ever happen from what the conversation we had? And I tell you what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to lay on you to talk to somebody. And for whatever reason, you're going to have the fear of God to go talk to him, or the fear of the devil is going to create you not to go talk to him, or you're going to have apprehensions for whatever reason to not go talk to him. I don't care how many times you do it, that's going to happen to you. A few weeks ago, I was walking in our neighborhood, and it was hot, one of those hot days. We have hot days in Ohio, too. And I didn't have a testament with me. I had nothing to approach these two gentlemen who are sitting in this truck. And the Holy Spirit led me to, I should go talk to them. And I thought, man, there's two guys in there. They're not going to have an interest. I don't have a testament. I have no way to approach them. So I just kept walking. The Holy Spirit said, Dick, you need to go talk to these two guys. So I went back to the truck. I walked up to the window, and I said, may I ask you a question? I said, are you gentlemen interested in spiritual things? Well, the driver sat there, and he went, so I could tell he wasn't. But the guy sitting by the window, he said, I am. I said, could I talk to you for just a minute? He said, sure. Well, he got out of the truck, and I said, I just wanted to ask you a question. I said, if you're to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, I'm not. I said, would you like to know? He said, I would. I said, can I share some scriptures or verses? I said, it won't take me very long, and it'll just be what God's telling. He said, not what I'm telling you. Can I share some scripture verses? He says, absolutely. I went through those scripture verses, explained them to him, and when I finished, I asked if he would like to pray with me, accept Jesus as Savior, and he says, I would. He bowed his head and prayed with me, and when I got done, he said, you have no idea how much this means to me. And I thought, look what I would have missed if I wouldn't have taken the opportunity to speak to that gentleman. Now, they're not all going to turn out like that. You're going to have some rejection. Jan needed a new washer and dryer, and so we got it. Then a couple of young gentlemen came and installed that washer and dryer, and when they finished, I went to them, and I said, may I give you a little gift? And so I approached them to give them that little testament like I shared with you, and I could tell they had no interest in that testament. They were just tolerating me as I was going through that and explaining it to them. After I gave it to him, I said, may I ask you a question? I said, if you two gentlemen were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Well, one young man looked at me and he says, I am pretty sure I would go directly to hell. And he started walking away. And the other one says, you know, I think you can try to live right, try to do things good, but he said, I don't think you can ever know. And he started walking away. Now, was that failure? Did I plant a seed like my wife did? You see the Gideons in many places anymore. We can't get into the schools to give testaments, so we go to the fair. In Wood County, where Jan and I live, we do not have one school that has public sidewalks, so we go to the fair and give testaments to our youth. Well, I was talking to a young boy, sharing the gospel with him, and as I was doing that, a gentleman came in our tent, an older gentleman, and his name is Richard, and I can't really tell you what is wrong. He has physical handicap. For lack of a better word, I would say he's slow. His lifetime job was a carryout in a grocery store, which I always give that grocery store a lot of credit for having this gentleman have their carryout. As far as I know, he never had a driver's license. Every time you saw him, he's going anywhere. He was either walking or riding a bicycle. Well, he walked into our tent, and Jan said something to him, and he said, I don't want to go to heaven. And Jan says, you don't want to go to heaven? No, I said, I don't want to go to heaven. So Jan was talking to him and really did a nice job. And she says, you know, Richard, you need Jesus in your heart. Oh, he said, I don't want to go to heaven. About that time, one of our pastors walked up to the tent. Now, Richard didn't know he was a pastor. But he asked him, he says, do you want to go to heaven? Pastor says, yeah. He said, I want to go to heaven. Not today, but I want to go to heaven. And so Richard said, I don't want to go to heaven. And very distraught, he just got up and walked away. And we thought, what happened? What programmed him to think, you don't want to go to heaven? That was on Friday. Monday morning, Jan and I were working that tent again. And that pastor came to the tent. And he says, I got to tell you what happened with Richard. He's about an hour or two after I saw him at your tent, I saw him on a ferry. He came up to me. And he says, you know, I've been thinking about that going to heaven. He said, I do want to go to heaven. But he said, I don't want to go to heaven right now. And he said, I want to tell my family what I've done. And I want to know if they want to go to heaven. Now, you think about that in itself. Here's a guy who does not want to go to heaven, and yet if he accepts Christ, he wants his family to know what he did, and he wants to know if they want to go to heaven. You think about that one. The pastor said to him, he said, Richard, he said, when you accept Christ, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven right now. He said, you might go to heaven soon, but you're going to go home when the Lord calls you home. It might be way in the future. He says, come over here, Richard, I want to talk to you. He said, I sat down to him, and he said, I talked to him like a child. And he said, when I got finished, he said, I asked him, he said, Richard, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And Richard said, I would. So he said, I told him, he said, Richard, pray a prayer something like this. He said, pray something like, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I accept you as my Savior. I ask you to forgive me my sins. I ask you to take me to heaven. And I accept you as my Savior. He said, he prayed the sweetest prayer. He said, he prayed, he says, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. He said, I thank you for that, because he said, I've done many things wrong. He said, I accept you as my Savior. And he said, I want you to take me to heaven. But he said, I'm not coming today. You think about that. You know, did Jan fail? She's a seed planter. Amen? The pastor said yesterday in my church, I told him that Mrs. Dissip planted the seed, I got to water it, and the Lord gave the increase. You know, Erwin Lutzer wrote a book called 1 Minute After You Die. And he wrote in that book, he said, do you think that when you die, that your senses are going to be any less heightened if you go to hell than they are today? He said, I think you will know the date, the time, the minute, the place, and the person that gave you the opportunity to accept Christ as a personal Savior, and you didn't do it. He says, you're going to have all eternity to think about that. You know, brothers and sisters, I don't want anybody to be angry with me the little bit of time I have left here on earth, but I'd much rather have them angry with me here and give them the opportunity to go to heaven rather than hell. And you know, I think one of the worst things could happen, somebody's in hell, and he says, you know, I know Dick Dissip was a Christian. Why didn't he tell me? Why didn't he tell me? He let me go to hell, and he never told me. And I think if people you try to approach, and they haven't accepted Christ, they're going to know at least you cared enough about them to try and tell them. D.L. Moody was telling that he was walking down the street in London, England one night. He says, as he was walking down the street, there was a young man in the gutter. He said, that man looked up at him and he said, aren't you Pastor Moody? He said, I am. He said, you saved me. Pastor Moody said, I must have. If God saved you, you wouldn't be in that gutter. You see, brothers and sisters, you and I aren't going to save anyone. Take that pressure off you. I hear people all the time, they go to witness to somebody, they talk to them, they don't accept Christ, they think, now I got to do this, now I got to do that. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. You know, I know a gentleman that as a young boy overdosed on drugs. And he said when they took him to the hospital, he was laying on the gurney. And he said, I heard the nurse say, he seems like such a nice young boy. He said, I could feel my body being pulled into hell. He said, I was going to hell, and he pulled into hell, and he said, I knew I was going there. He said, you are not going to argue your way out of hell because you're going there, and you're going to know you're going, and you know you deserve it. He said, the force on my body was so strong, and my body got so cold, he said, I could hear the people in hell. I could hear the crying, the wailing, the grinding, and the gnashing of teeth. He said, the next day, I was still grinding my teeth. Brothers and sisters, hell is for real. I wouldn't want anybody to ever go to hell. I'm encouraging you to put on a prayer list people that you know that need to hear about the gospel. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Satan's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try and stop you. He can try to discourage you. He can't stop you. You and I are the only ones who can stop ourselves. Amen? And I want you to think about something. Do you realize there are no miracles in our comfort zone? If we think we're doing things in our comfort zone, there aren't going to be miracles. And if you go to witness to somebody, I guarantee the Holy Spirit's going to be there with you. The Lord doesn't expect you to go on your own. The Holy Spirit's going to be there. You know, it tells us in Joshua 1:7, be strong and very courageous. And in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I want to leave you with one last thought. Before I do that, don't forget to stop at the door, get your testament, and get your hand out. I encourage you to memorize the scripture verses, practice it, go in and tell others to the Lord. Then I want to leave you with one last thought. Who's going to be in heaven because of you? May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.